Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I didn't hear anyone. Good morning, everyone. Let us all gather here in the front as we begin our worship service. Kindly please silence our phones or put them on vibrate and let's worship the Lord.
I want to see you.
declare that in this, we declare that in this place, Lord, that you are holy and you are mighty, Lord God, and you will do works and plans, good plans, Lord God, in this church, Lord. Guys, what the Lord has revealed to me and touched, how God touched my heart this week. I was reading in the book of Job, and this is the story behind this, is that, you know, Job, God let these trials and tribulations happen to Job, and God let the enemy take over Job, except taking away his life, and everything that Job had, he lost. And everyone, including his wife, she was telling Job to curse God and just die. And everyone else, including his friends. So this is what the passage, this is Job's response to his friend. "And I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin or body has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. And I myself will see him with my own eyes. And I, and not another, how my heart yearns within me." And that kind of touch, because a lot of things happen in our lives. And some of you, we don't know. I don't know what you guys are going through. I don't know your trials. I don't know your struggles. But this is what I know for sure, that God is with us. God is with us in our trials, and God is beside us fighting with us. So I just want to pray, Lord God, Lord, here we are, Lord. Some of us here, Lord, some of us are broken, Lord. Some of us are going through things, Lord. Some of us need healing, Lord. Some of us need comfort. So I just want to pray, Lord, that you touch us, Lord. That you give us comfort, Lord, in the times that we need it most, Lord. Carry us when we can't carry ourselves, Lord. And give us strength when we are weak. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for being there with us throughout all these trials, Lord. Through the best times, through the worst times, Lord, and you are walking beside us, Lord. So here we are, Lord. We want to worship you, Lord, because you deserve it, Lord. And we want to open our hearts, Lord. We want to fully open our hearts, Lord, to you. We want to welcome you, Lord, in our lives. We want you to be the master of our plans, Lord. We want your will to be done in our lives and in our church, Lord. So Lord, here we are. We want to worship you, Lord.
Darkness, open my Lord, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts today, Lord. Lord, as we continue to worship, Lord, just want to thank you. Just want to remember, Lord, the love, Lord God, that you have for us, Lord. What love have you lavished upon us, Lord? So that we'll be called your children, Lord God. So we just want to remember that today, Lord. We just want to remember the sacrifice, Lord. The weight of the sacrifice and the suffering that you have to go through. So that we can be with you, Lord. So grateful, Lord God, that you continue to be with us, Lord. So here we are, Lord, our hearts wide open.
Buried all my Father, you are worthy. You are worthy indeed, O God, of all praises from your people. We honor you this day, Lord God, and we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Please be seated. Good morning, Windalas. As we pass our basket for our tithes and offering, let me just share with you what has transpired. Yesterday we had our garage sale, and praise God, it was indeed very fruitful. And I thank each and every one of you youth for coming to our house and hold that fundraising. Indeed, God is a wonderful God. Amen. And there were even people who came really just to donate. Yes, just to give for that mission trip. Thank you, Lord. Indeed, He is a provider. Amen. Amen. And this is just the beginning. As we continue to glorify His name, as we continue to focus on this mission trip, you know, this is not about us. This is about what God has given us for that opportunity to be able to help out, to extend a helping hand to those who are in need. Let's pray for our tithes and offering. Father God, we just thank you. Once again, we glorify you, Lord God. We praise you, for you are indeed a wonderful Father, one who we can always count on, who is always there for us. Thank you for the blessings you have given us, O Lord. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Make note of the slide up there. There are three ways to actually give in person, which is why you're here today. Number two, there's another one, an online giving, which is what we've been doing as an Ezekiel. It's a online services. So if you want to get a little bit more familiar with it, please go online at windalas.org. It will give you a more, that service is there and it's available. That automates it. So if you want to use your credit cards, I'm not a big proponent of credit cards, but if you wanted to use that, you could certainly do that. Yesterday, I'm actually all over the place because, my wife and I had a great conversation at McDonald's, but I just want to refer back to God's goodness today, because yesterday these young women and young men that were doing the missions thing, it reminds me of God's faithfulness. And I don't know if we really test it. And I don't want us to test it in a way, prove it to me. But actually, the missions trip, Pastor Ed, during this garage sale, he sent out to the community that this is a youth mission fund. And one of the things Creanne comes up into, we were talking about it, and she was saying, I asked her, I think, how much money did they make? And how did it all transpire? And one of the things that she mentioned to me, which really shows God's blessing. And I don't know if you guys kind of, in you guys, when you're thinking about it, I don't know if you said, wow, this is phenomenal. But it was for me. When she came in, she goes, there's a guy who came in, bought a couple items because it was so cheap, but the total dollar figure was $2. And so she gives the money. Who was the person who received the money? Okay. So this person, whoever that person was, they gave them $10. And in that $10, the guy basically says, keep the change. Now we think about that. Wow. What's that all about? That's God. And I know we sometimes just say, what is that? The meaning, Lucian, why are you even bringing? It's because He gives far beyond what we could ever think about. And then there's another incident. I'm not sure how much it was, but how much was the total that you guys got anyway? $159, and it was pure clothes, right? Some items, but pure clothes. But it just tells me about who God is. His pocketbook is completely endless. But I don't know if we live that way. And I don't. And meaning, I don't know if we really see God that way. And so there's another thing that my wife, and this is just a prelude to what I want to share, but there's a pastor that when we were in Singapore, and he shared this, and it's kind of like preface to what I want to talk about. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So he asked this question, so what do we gain if we practice this? My simple calculation from the sermon thoughts are as follows. And I want you to focus as much as it garners in your brain to just listen to this. Listen to it. If I affirm God is sovereign, I will lessen my fears. You hear that? And I got to be honest, Annie and I have gone, I'm going through this. Fears. Fear. So we talked about my daughter, especially because she's going to college. And I think about that. And I told her, I'm ready to retire. I told her that. I said, I'm ready to retire and do whatever I want to do. But what's holding me back, I said to her, is you. Not in a bad way, but I just said, it's you. I want to take care of you. I want to make sure you're set in place. But I realized that as we were in McDonald's, I realized one thing, that my parents did not provide for any of my schooling. None. Not $1. In fact, I was telling my daughter when I was going through school that they didn't even, they paid my bill, but I believe that a lot of it came from me working all summer long. They took my money, like good kids would do. They earned the money and entrusted to their parents, and their parents would be the one to pay the bills. And I did that. But she never sent me any checks. In fact, the checks that I received was from an elderly lady's, and it would come once in a while. It wasn't always coming. It was just once in a while. And when I get that check, $25, I could still recall it. I get that check from this lady that I know of when I was growing in Sunday school, who was a bratty little kid, but she still gave me $25. The very first thing I do was run to the cashier and write my name on it and take that money and put it into my pocket. Now, we don't have grocery stores in our college, the university I went to. It was a small college. So all we did was buy stuff in the cafeteria. But it dawned on me that my parents didn't really provide, and not that because they were, oh, wow, they're not good parents. No, they actually just trusted God. Seven kids, I would have believed that that's what they were premised on. So as I look at this, I said, my simple calculation from my sermon thoughts is if I affirm God is sovereign, I will lessen my fears. Do you believe that? Your fears should be less. And 1 John says, perfect love will do what? Cast out some of your fears. Actually, it says all of your fears. Perfect love in Christ will cast out all your fears. Number two, he says, if I align my perspective to God, that means I'm really doing what he's saying, I will have more light. And maybe what he's basically saying, I will have clarity of what I should be doing. So when we're confused, and oftentimes we are, with all the busyness of this world and all of the responsibilities of this world. And I'm going to share my experience in this case, because I'm a bit confused right now in my life. I told my wife, and I'm serious about this, so you guys think I'm dropping these hints, but I am serious. I said, I want to retire. From my work, but not from what God wants me to do. And so I was telling her, I said, I'm confused because I'm sitting and I'm thinking, well, what happens? And this sets the word fears in my life. I'm fearful. I'm thinking to myself, what about my kid? Do I have enough savings? Do I have this? Are all of these things in place for me to be able to do what I need to do to retire? And the reality is, I was telling my wife, I have become in management and all my skills have now diminished. I no longer have the technical skills that I used to that brought value to the workplace. And all I'm doing is managing these people and telling them what to do, and they're supposed to accomplish those tasks and bring projects in place, and it brings value to the organization, but not, hey, you know, did Lucian do anything? No, he's actually just pushing papers. He's writing emails. He's responding to the people and basically saying, did you do this? Did you do that? Do I go to the meetings and the chiefs and the city managers? And half of the time when I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, I don't even know what these guys are talking about. But I sit there and think, Lord, my skills are going less and less. My value technically is getting less and less. And now I'm a little bit worried, because when you get up to a certain age, you think, you know, why should I pay this guy X dollars when I can get a kid out of college for a lot lower pay? And so those fears sets into place. So I told her, you know, I think I'm going to make one more year commitment, improve my technical skills, and then we can retire. And then I asked her this question. What if God is just telling me to stop and do what I've asked you so many years ago, and get involved and trust me? See, that's hard. It is extremely hard. Because see, once you get used to the dollars, used to the money, used to the responsibility, and you're trapped in there, because you know that, oh, my way of life is this, and how can I, all my bills are still piling up, how can I let it go? How can I? It's hard. That's why fear sets in. And then it's harder to trust God. That's why in this, when I was reading this guy's statement, I'm thinking to myself, how can I get clarity, Lord, that you're really telling me to just shut down, let go of this career that I have built for 30 plus years, and all of a sudden go into a career that is completely out of my comfort zone? Have you guys been asked that? I don't know if you guys have been. Look, I'm probably older than most of you guys here. So I'm kind of speaking from experience of what it entails. And so I'm struggling with that, because I want God's clarity to tell me, the light, that clear clarity that says, Lord, am I willing to go ahead and give up and everything? And I've just been so fortunate. I don't know why, but God has just given me a great wife. We got into our argument yesterday, so I want you to know. She's a great wife. We got into an argument. And my daughter was in the middle of it. She wasn't in the middle, but she could see her and I arguing. And as we were sitting, to kind of close that picture off, as we were sitting 99 Ranch, so I asked her, so are we done at war already? Because she was looking at her Facebook. She was going, I said it again. So are we done at war yet? 5 times later, we said, God. It is. And my daughter, recently she just said, you know, I haven't seen you guys fight in such a long time. And honestly, she's just been a great core to my life, because, so you guys know, when we did this, called the books of the Bible, and this book has no chapters in it. It's just a straight book. First time I've ever, and Annie, I love you dearly. So, but the very first time in our marriage where she hooked, got hooked into the Bible. Because she said to me, I've never seen the Bible in the manner of a book before. It's always been chapter, verses. So every single time you looked at the Bible, you looked at it from an angle that says, I have to stop at that verse and see what it means to me. What she's been doing lately with me is that she's been sharing what the book is telling her, not what the Bible verses are saying, even though it compiles that whole entire part of it. She's been sharing with me the things that she's learning as she's reading the Bible. The Bible, the book, the Word of God, not in segmented version, but in a true version. And I had been so encouraged when I saw her doing this. And I said, Lord, are you sharing with me something about her? Because this is the very first time I've seen her, the desire for the Word of God. And I got to be honest, she doesn't sleep. So it's a good thing. Because generally she'll say, and end up. So what she does is she wakes up, and I've seen her. She sits, she wakes up 4 a.m, turns on the light, boom, hits me in the face, and I wake up. And she's reading God's Word. Wow. And I got to be honest, as I was going through with this, I was telling her, that was one of the reasons I wanted to purely get involved, but not be 100% committed, because I don't know. And I know her heart. Let me say it this way. She's been a great wife. She's been a great supporter of wherever I went. When I went to the Singapore, I picked up the phone and I told her, hey, are you okay moving to Singapore? Because I think that's where God wants us to go. And I want to go there because I want to minister to the people in Singapore and see what people are there. And then she goes, yeah, let's go. But the beauty about this is God has given me a heart and a passion that I was showing and seeing it with her. And as we continue on, number three, if I adopt a simpler life, I will have less worry. Now, I got to be honest, we've been doing this. We still are hoarders, though. So we are. Every single time I go into the, there's a little closet underneath the stairs, and I look at it, it's a bunch of garbage bags in there. It's probably all my books that she's ready to burn. And then in the breakfast room, well, she's actually sleeping with us in our room. And in the room, in our room, there's just a bunch of books that I haven't read in a long time. And I told her, if I were to decide only a certain number of books, there were probably only a couple books that I would have. It's called One is Crazy Love by Francis Chan. How many of you guys ever read that? I'm going to tell you, I would recommend you reading it. If you're part of the body, I would recommend you reading that book called Crazy Love. And it says there, we would have less worry. And so I was just telling her, as we're preparing, we're selling our stuff. She's probably going to sell my stuff and not her stuff, but she'll sell stuff for the garage sale. And I think about that, that's what God's doing. Little by little, taking us away from this world and ushering us into a place called glory, because you'll never be able to bring your stuff. And so the fifth thing he says here, no, fourth thing, if I abound in thankfulness, I will have more joy. Not joy, you joy, Oyer, but yeah, we already have more joy already over there. We have plenty of joy. So it is joy, not the one. No, it's not. Yeah, it is. Not that kind of joy that you guys think about, oh, I'm just so happy. No, actually, it's joy, contentment. He says in God's Word, Paul very clearly says, if you guys ever, I'm going to keep advertising this, God's not dead. He says in Paul, remember he advised that girl who just got thrown out of her house because she had converted from Muslim to Christianity? And when the pastor said this, he goes, whenever I, Paul, know what it's like to have a lot, and I also know when I have it very little, But he goes, but whatever the circumstances that has been entrusted or given to me in my life, he says what? I learned to be content. That is pure joy. Because there's nothing that has a hold of you except the love of God. The fifth thing, if I abide in God, and I want you to hear this, if, and those are key operative words, if I abide in God, I have no risk. You hear that? If, there's a key, there's a, that's called a conditional. If you do something, you will have no risk. There's, in my work, in my line of work, especially working for the city. So gonna preface this. When I worked in the private industry is basically this. How can I make more money? I don't care about the risk, because the risk is very little in comparison to how much money can the company make. Now, obviously, you got a bunch of accountants are thinking, okay, if you do X, Y, and C, you're still trying to minimize the risk. And that is, you're trying to determine, can I make a lot of money? I'll give you a good example. When I went to Bank of New York to do for 1 year, I was out there, right in the heart of Manhattan. And we were doing some due diligence in regards to computing, to developing a software that is supposed to be projected. It's called Basel technology. And what that basically translates to is the people from the Bank of New York was taking millions upon millions of dollars and they were putting it into a savings account to try to determine the risk. So if something fails, they could draw money from this account and pay that risk. Well, they had millions upon millions upon millions of dollars that they did this to. And so what they were trying to do now is they were trying to calculate if they could reduce that millions into from, let's say, $500 million down to $50 million. And you know why they did that? Because they took the $450 million and they put it into their own savings account. And they drew interest from that savings account. So the Bank of New York, rather than keeping in this where it doesn't earn them money, now they are putting all of that $450 million into an account where it's interest bearing and they're making more upon more money, millions upon millions. Why are we talking this way, Lucian? Because the reality is that that's what the relationship sometimes we have. We are risk. What are we willing to do? We put our risk on who? On us or upon God? I've really been, really, just like I said, I've just been blessed by a great wife. And I would stand, I hope you've been blessed by me too. I'm sure not yesterday. but I love the fact that we're a team. You know, we've been talking about this, and I'm going to highlight this very quickly because I want to just elaborate. That fortifying a church foundation is about a team. It isn't about somebody individually. Last week, if you could give me about 10 minutes, we're going to finish this off, but I want you to kind of think along with me. The very first thing I just told you about, sorry. My notes. There are five things a team must do. Don't do it alone. And we've been discussing this in the Titus chapter 2. And I don't want you to, if you want to go turn there, you can. But I want you to follow along with me. Titus chapter 2 says, don't do it alone. And we talked about how Paul, and I know the concept of discipleship. Actually, to summarize that, He wanted to continue to have a relationship with people. And with people, the reason why we develop a relationship is because I love the fact that when we share one another, you sharpen each other. And by the way, Emily sent a Facebook. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was a guy was talking to a Muslim. And he was asking a specific question. I don't know if you recall this, but I just saw this morning. And we were listening to this guy articulate his position, because the guy who was standing in the podium was asked the question, and the guy was asking a question. There was contradiction between the Bible. How can a finite God, an infinite God, be in a finite situation? And then he started to elaborate a lot more of the Quran. And so this Dr. Koresh articulated clearly why the Word of God. And I'm not going to go into details with it. But the reason is, I see this man, and Annie and I, we were listening to this guy. He says, what confidence. I mean, he knew both the Quran and he knew the Bible so well that the questions that this guy had asked, he goes, you know what? I went through that and here's the answer. I wonder if we would be able to do that. Or would we crumble? Would we shy away and say, you know what? I don't know. And we walk away from that and just saying, I hope that question just goes off to the side. I don't want to deal with it because I don't know it. I can't defend it. I don't know the Bible. And so I said it's so important that you have this relationship with people who can build you up, not tear you down, and to point you to God, not to point you back to the earth. Because guess what? The Bible very clearly says this. The earth will do what? It will fade away. A new heaven and a new earth will be displayed in this world. But if you are caught up in this world and your friends that you have keeps you in this world, you will lose the focus. And then that last statement, I said, what is the risk? The risk is eternal life. You will not be in heaven. You will miss the boat. And I'm not talking about just missing the boat. I'm talking about, we think about in time, it is no longer feasible for you to do a redo. I always tell my daughter, unfortunately, I don't know, and I conceptually, it's something that is foreign to me, but here in school in Texas, maybe it's all over the United States, but when you fail, you can actually take a redo. Is that true? Hey, you know, I flunked this test. Can I go ahead and take the test again or improve my grade a little bit better? Redo. Retest. Guess what? Can I be honest with you? There is no redo. The same story about Noah. When the door was closed and that ship had been, the door was closed permanently and the people were pounding left and right at the door. It wasn't going to say, let me open the door again and let the water come in. No, it was actually closed and it was permanently closed. Even though I could hear Noah, they're crying. His friends are crying so loudly. It's over. That's what his word is. That's why discipleship or relationship with men of God, women of God, that it is important and imperative that when we as a team together come together, it is important that you find friends that do that. If you don't, Psalm 1, please read it. Very clearly says that you become, you stand, you sit. Oh, I'm sorry. You walk, you stand, and then you sit. Among the mockers. You become like them. The Word of God very clearly says that that's why it is important to do that. And not only that, but when you start to spend quality time with individuals who know God's Word, who's trying to live God's Word, who challenges you to live God's Word, guess what? You become authentic. We talked about that last week. I hope you do. you become authentic. God wants you to become real. Wants you to be real with one another. No matter how hurtful it may be, and we talked about this, Pastor Ed and I, to speak the truth in love. You guys won't hesitate to tell somebody if you have this relationship, you will not hesitate. But as a group right now, I think we are. Let me tell you what I shared with the people from our leadership meeting. I look at Rebecca and I say to myself, if I were to ever die, and let's say my wife and I were to go off on a plane trip and die, can I leave my kids with you guys? I got to tell you, I could leave my kids in Denver without a hesitation. You know why? Because they treat her like her kids. In fact, my closest friend, her name is Shine Gichalin. I really have a hard time with their last name. They should change it. She should say Shine James. Make it easier. But her and I are almost like brother and sisters. She calls me up when she's in pain. I call her up whenever I hear that she's in the anguish. I do. Man, when she calls and I can hear her tears and her passion and her hurt, I could sense it. But this lady, without even me having to tell her, Rebecca knows that if she was ever to date a guy, and even to think about marrying a guy, they have to go through her. They have to know. They have to actually get her approval for it. And as I thought and told our leadership, I said, can I, as a family, can I do that with you all? I would love to. I do. Because you're my family. In fact, my family, they very rarely see me. Not that it's intended, but I've always been away from them. They probably said that's because he's the black sheep of the family. Good. But the reality is this, can I trust my kids with you? That is similar here. You should be able to tell my kids, hey, Rebecca, is she in there? Hey, man, you're looking ugly today. I know Lara says that anyway. Or Creanne, or Artis. But we should be able to do that because we're authentic. That's why I don't like doing things alone, because it helps me to gauge what people think about me or what I need to have done. But the reality is we guard ourselves. We guard ourselves. We're so afraid to tell people that I hurt. We're so afraid that, yes, my family isn't all as it ought to be. We are. Our images of ourselves, we need to portray differently for other people. And I love our topic this Friday at the youth group. Who are you serving, or who are you trying to portray? You're portraying yourself and the people that you're trying to say, wow, this kid is great. Or are you portraying it based on who God is and what God values you? That's why it's so important. Discipleship is important. Friendship and relationship is important. And because authenticity will come out of it. It does. I'm going to put Jaisal in a position, but she said something really funny last week in our group. Because it's not just her. I love her to death because I know what she said is threw across all the kids in the world. You want to say it? And so she goes, I tell the truth sometimes. And I looked at her, how am I going to figure out which you're telling me the truth?
I tell the truth. I tell mostly the truth, but some are lies.
Okay, great. And so we made fun of that. Authenticity. Authenticity will allow us to be less fearful and more open. It will. And that's what teams are developed. I'm going to tell you a couple more. Give to the goers. There's a passage. Can I just read this to you? You don't have to turn to it. So it says, do everything you can to help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way to see what they have, everything they need. See, as a team, we should be able to go, and I just want to piggyback on the young people. We should be able to give them what they need, the tools they need to go to the mission trip. Can I tell you that was a life-changing thing for me? In 19, and now you could tell me when I was in college, in 1981, I went to the youth, my first mission trip to the Philippines. In fact, that was the very first time I've ever been back since 1969 when we landed here. It was 1981. We went there as a team with my college. We sung, we visited, and everything else. I mean, it was a great, rewarding time for me, and I hope it is for the young people as well. I want to challenge you. It says here, give to the goers. If they're willing to go, there should be no restriction from our hearts to give them the necessary tools to move forward. Number two, it says here, number three, do what is good. See, in this word, he says here, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good. Do you hear that? In the book of Titus, he says, our people must learn to do good. By very nature, we're very selfish people. We are. I don't know of anyone here who's really completely dedicated not to themselves. That's why it's hard to learn. In fact, let me illustrate it this way. Do you remember the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan? The story of the Good Samaritan? Guy gets beat up, gets laid on the side of the road, and the very first person who passed was what? A priest. Now, you would think this guy would be the one to actually do the job, but he doesn't. He walks. Then the next one is what? He's a religious leader, the Pharisee. And he does the same thing. And then what happens to the Samaritan? Do you know why that's a very important story? Do you know why a Samaritan would look at this Jewish person who got beat up? Why is that so important? Do you guys know? The Samaritan is an outcast group. They didn't really respect. They actually thought, the Jewish people thought of them as the most lowest of low people. But this guy willingly did what? He bandaged his wounds. And I love that. He bandaged his wounds and then he put him on his donkey and then he walked him to the shelter. And what was the last thing this guy did? He says, I'm going to come back. I'm going to give you the money and I'm going to come back. If I don't have enough money or there's more expenses, what did he say he was going to do? I'll pay it. That is an extreme love of goodness. That is a great picture of what goodness is about. Learning to do what is good. It is actually going far beyond, but I don't think we're there. I'm not there. I don't know if I could do what that guy does, especially I don't like this guy because he hates me. Why would I do something good to a person who does not love me in return? I cannot fathom that. I want to judge him. I want to continue to say, that's good for you, man. I'm glad you got beat up. And then you go, ugh! And then you walk away. Yes, but his goodness was what? As a team. And I love this. If you guys look at the book of Titus, it's talking about teaching. I love this word. And again, I'm reading it from this, so I don't have the Bible verses, but read it. Do this, and it says, so that God and our Savior is attractive. People will be attracted to that. They will. our team right now, our team here, do we do good? The last two, let me close it with this. Greet everyone. See, if you aren't at number one, if you haven't developed a relationship with each other, guess what? Hi. Yeah, that's how we go to church. You go, how are you? Seriously? Yeah. Yeah, we walk away with that kind of thinking. Our body language indicates what? I really love you, man. Yeah. See, when you're in tune with each other, if you are a team, you develop this authenticity with one another and you could be real with one another and that you do good. Guess what? It's so much easier to go up to that person because you're already what? You love them. Not those kind of mushy love. And then here's the last state of becoming a team player. This is hard. Grace be with you all. I love the ending because the bottom line is this. If we need to grant forgiveness if the person doesn't like us, if we don't see the way things happen to happen for us, we are willing to do what? We're going beyond. We're saying, I am going to grant you grace. I'm willing to do that. So let me close with this story of a team. And I want to see where you think we might be. And here it is. It's a true story. So in conclusion, in the summer of 2002, nine miners were trapped for 3 days in a water-filled mine shaft in Pennsylvania. After their amazing rescue, the miners said that they decided early on that they were either going to live or die as a group. The 55-degree water threatened to kill them slowly by hypothermia. According to a news report, they came up with a plan. When one got cold, the other eight would huddle around that person and warn that person. And when another person got cold, the favor was returned. Everybody had a strong moment, Minor. Harry B. Mayhew told reporters after being released from the hospital, but any certain time, maybe one guy got down and then the rest pulled together. And then that guy would get back up and maybe someone else would feel a little weaker. But it was a team effort. That's the only way we could have been. That's the only way it could have been. In a special worship service that took place a couple days later, and I want you to hear this. 10 helmets. Remember, there were only 9 of them. 10 helmets were placed at the altar at the church, representing the 9 miners and God. They faced incredible hostile conditions together, and they all came out alive together. What a picture of body of Christ. We have been created to be a community and to work together as a team. Do you feel trapped in the dark? Are the walls caving in on you? The only way to get out of it is to lean on God and others. You hear that? Not lean on yourself, but to lean on God and others. So I want to ask you, as we stand up, when you sing this song, Worthy, He is to be worthy. He is to be praised because that God already had died on the cross for us. And He is extending His hands, arms wide open for you. Every minute He does, He extends His hand over to you. And all you have to do is to claim Him as your personal Savior. So when you look at this song, as we sing this song, Worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy. He is so worthy. If you're not ready to be worthy, if you don't want to give Him praise today, you will one day. And so I want to encourage you to lift His name.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Washed me in your blessing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and we crown you now.
says there very clearly, all the crowns will be laid at his feet. It will be. The greatest crown is you. It will be. The doors are wide open. And he says, knock and the door shall be open. And all you have to do is come. He wants to dine with you. He wants to have a relationship. He is not just talking about meeting on Sunday. He isn't. He's talking about every minute, every second, here he stands. I just want to say this. It says that here I stand, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Relationship. It's not about a religion. It's a relationship with the Father. So I'm going to close us with a word of prayer, but I'm going to ask you to sit down and say, once I finish. So Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you with our voices. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name. Amen. Please be seated. A couple announcements. Manny Pacquiao. I actually have seen a lot of his advertisement, but I think the best one was when he was sitting in a chair and he was seeing himself being interviewed, and then the advertisement was finished and he was sitting in the sofa and he says, I'm confused. Okay, you guys must not have seen it. It will be at Emily's house starting at 7:30, May 2nd. I have actually said that what we want to try to do is it's $110, right? It's getting higher and higher because of the price of this HD high def. I guess you guys want to really see the blood. Okay. So $10 per family to come in. But this is actually a fundraiser again. And what I want you to do is out of the goodness of your heart, whatever that you want to donate to the young people. They will be leaving in. Go ahead.
We're leaving. We plan to leave on June 28th, and the camp is a 5-day trip. So it's gonna be. We'll leave right after Sunday service, and then it will be until Friday.
Okay, and it will be in Austin, so it's very close. Number two, they had started in a garage sale. They started last week. So number one. If you have anything that is of value that you want to sell, please coordinate that with Leah. We will start moving all of these beautiful objects into someone else's hands. Someone else's treasure, right? Somebody else's garbage is actually somebody else's treasure. So, huh? Husbands? Okay. That's not going to happen. We do have a dummy one on the top. No. So please coordinate this with Leah. Number two, Sunday school parent meeting. Anybody who has children that are in from 5 to 12, they're going to have a meeting here during the eating. So please, table number one, please sit there. Number four, Pastor Ed and I are talking about this, and one of the things, the initiatives that I have actually asked him is to start setting up visitations. So every other Tuesday, him and I will actually go ahead and start visiting people. So if you have a certain family that you want us to visit, maybe you, but we are still going to schedule you anyway. So we want to start connecting with the people. So we are going to start doing that. It's visitation. Okay, so if you have a friend that you want us to invite or to visit, please do that. Okay, please. Maybe that's that box. If you're not sure who, please put it there. Number two, something just bleep up there. It says that if the young people wants to do yard work.
We can.
They can, okay. They will pay them. Do you guys travel up to Colorado? Because we did, we do need. Okay. Huh? Come see him afterward. And we've already talked a little bit about the youth with the missions. May 15th is going to have all our dollars in there. I think we're going to get there. I think we will get there. So May 16th is actually the due date to pay it. So, and then we'll give you more details as what we're going to be doing in regards to what their expectation. This is not run by WIND. It is actually a different organization. One last thing. I'm going to ask all these birthday celebrants to come up here. John Ward, the April group, Cleric. Come on, man. Don't make me ask you 100 times, man. Tita Annie. Tita Adi. Vivian. Up and extend our hands to the family.
Yes, Lord. Father, we are one in accord, O God. As we unite ourselves with these people who celebrated their birthdays, O God, we are so, so thankful for the lives that you have given to them, O Lord God, that we know of them, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, as we share the joy and the thanksgiving today, Lord God, for these wonderful lives of these people. We pray that you continue to use them, O Lord God, in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Okay, you're dismissed.